It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to hour two. There is a story in, well, on Yahoo Sports that the CFP, thanks to the SEC and the Big Ten pushing, could expand. And that's been a rumor for a while now. Could be 14 or 16. Mostly this is on my mind because in the virtual world, I made the playoff in my first year, but can't get past the obstacle that is Texas State and Josh Beard. Getting swept, losing all three games. Regular season, Big 12, and then in playoff champ. Big 12 championship game and then the playoff quarterfinal really hurt.
Wow. People are calling it Texas versus Georgia. That's what people are calling it.
People are calling me John Cooper. And he's can't beat the rival. UCF now has a new rival in our online dynasty. Congratulations to Josh Beard, first time national champion. But we move on. The playoff may expand. We'll get to that story in a little bit here. But let's get to Dave. Dave wants to talk about Alex Bregman. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Del. Enjoy your show. I enjoy what you add to John and Lance's show, too. I think you're a big add there. Alex Bregman, a couple things. One, we talk about these contracts that he was offered. Not knowing how much money was deferred in those other contracts, if any, is really important. I think, my son follows this closer than I do, but he tells me that Bregman's going to get $6 million a year from 2035 to 2044. And that's great. But, the Red Sox, they keep that $60 million in their pocket for the next 10 years. And, you don't have to invest it that, wisely to turn it into a bigger number. So, not having that money in Alex's possession is a big deal. And you have to kind of factor that in when you compare these different offers. The other thing I'll say is I disagree with you guys, or not you guys so much, but other people who've texted and whatever else. I don't think Bregman's going to get booed by many people at Daikin Park when he comes back with the Red Sox. I think, right now emotions are sort of raw, but when he comes back, people are going to, remember how much Alex Bregman's meant to this franchise 9 years.
I agree. I don't think it'll be this overwhelming noise, but there will be. Look, we're in a bubble here. There are callers, tweeters, people pay to go to the ballpark. I'm not gonna say Jerry wasn't. I don't know if he'll pay for Astros tickets ever. So I may include him in this. I just don't think it's going to be the sentiment where we need to boo him for this. I know it took a while. I know people's hopes are up, but I'm just going by Twitter people. People who go to the games, they'll remember that number two and what he did and probably feel pretty good about his time here. And he didn't rip the city on his way out. He was a consummate professional, and he had the ad in the Chronicle telling everyone how happy he was to be here and how much he appreciated it. I don't think it'll be a big thing. The thing you mentioned about the deferred payments, while I was tongue-in-cheek in the previous segment, you're right. I mean, him getting that money later. I'm not sure if your son's right about when he's going to come into that money and what it might mean for how the Red Sox can spend. But a lot of this has to do, I think, with maybe ego's not the best word, but how you're thought of. Alex Bregman, the actual contract with the deferred money means he's not getting $40 million this season. But the numbers that are put out there initially are Alex Bregman is a AAV of $40 million. He's a $40 million player per year. And should that matter to a player? Probably not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does. That is part of the narrative, that he is being paid $40 million to play baseball this year. I think that might matter to players.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's just when you go to Spot Track and you look at his contract, it'll just say $40 million for the next 3 years. So I think that a lot of it is just kind of putting makeup on a pig in that way.
And do we know if the
the Astros could just, if it is fake money, the Astros could just, or, you know, it's a way of making it seem like a bigger offer, but it really isn't. Can't the Astros defer payments? Like, could they start doing that?
It's not something they've done, but yeah, they could. It doesn't appear to be something they're interested in doing, though.
So why would they not be interested in doing that if it's...
Because you still have to eventually pay him, yeah. I guess. I don't know. But we watched the Dodgers do it, and everyone's pissed off at them, but they're perfectly okay to do it. You can do it. The Astros just don't appear to want to get involved in that game.
Because they don't want to pay Alex Bregman more? Maybe that's why?
Yes.
So the Red Sox offer is still better?
Yes.
If the team doesn't want to do something because it disadvantages the team, that means, in general, it's going to be better for the player, which means that the deferred payment being something the Astros don't want to do is something that's worse for the team because it is paying the player more.
Yes. So the logistics of it all, we can get into that and determine how much he's actually getting, what it costs the Red Sox to do it, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, he's not here. And whatever reasoning played a part in it, he chose the Red Sox offer as a better one than the Astros and what would have come out to be about 26 or something per year. Was that the math? Which is below what we thought he was seeking, which was about 30. And he's going to get 10 more than that. He's a fake or not. He's a $40 million a year player, and that probably sits right. Sits good with him.
Just like Shohei Ohtani, no one's like, he's a $2 million a year player.
No.
No, he signed for $700 million for 10 years.
The nerds in us, the people who, and I'm not excluding myself, but we dive deep in the numbers and talk about what it actually means. General public, doesn't matter. Alex Bregman? It doesn't matter. It's just the contract is a contract. The numbers are out there. If you want to, the headline is there. And if you want to dig deep into the article, it might tell you what's actually involved. But the real point is, he ain't here.
Yeah. Well, it's also like accounting radio is awful radio.
I don't like talking about trades in that way. How much it might cost the team who's trading? How much it's going to cost the team?
What's this cap number?
It doesn't matter, people. They just want to. They want to know if they can acquire the player, and let the financial people in the front office figure all that out. It does not matter to the people when they hear star wide receivers being acquired. Does not matter.
Yeah. Or like the Myles Garrett thing, because that's something I've seen in the week after Myles Garrett asked for a trade. It's like, you know, this is actually going to be terrible dead cap for the Browns, so they might just keep him. Just like, okay, sure. If that's the reason you're keeping him, because of the dead cap of a team that's already paying Deshaun Watson what they're paying Deshaun Watson.
You're already in a position where you aren't competing for anything.
Yeah, sure.
But keep Myles Garrett and don't acquire any picks for him. Because keep the unhappy player who you could get picks for, a lot of them for.
He's turning 30.
Yeah, but because of your dead cap situation for a team who's not winning a thing anyway. Okay. Dave, appreciate the call. Look, that back half of our commentary wasn't an attack on you. It's just, for Alex Bregman, it probably matters less than for people who like to talk about contracts, even though it's a contract directly affecting him. Because at some point, he can tell the world, $40 million per year. If I want the last 2 years, I can just get out of it if I don't want to hang around in Boston. Okay, the story from Yahoo, Ross Dellinger has a story, longtime college football reporter. The SEC and the Big Ten are pushing for 14 to 16 teams to expand the playoff. And they want multiple automatic qualifiers per league, as many as four each for themselves, and finalizing a scheduling arrangement together that may fetch millions in additional revenue from TV partners, sources told Yahoo Sports. So, yes, these two conferences who people were fearful of would get more bids than, particularly the SEC, because they had the three loss teams, get more bids than they deserved because they would turn the sport into a monopoly if they wanted to, or they'd break away. They're pushing for more influence before we get to year two of this expanded playoff. 14 to 16 always felt like it was going to happen just because more teams means more inventory, means more money. But if we start to separate qualifiers by conference, like it's Champions League, like Premier League gets four qualifiers, other leagues, smaller leagues, even leagues you think are bigger, like Serie A and La Liga, just going across the board. Some leagues get less qualifiers into that championship. It's what it appears the Big Ten and the SEC want. Hey, we deserve four because, you know, watching 9-3 Alabama led by Jalen Milroe would have been a great viewing experience this past playoff. Give them the spot. Jackson Dart and Ole Miss, yeah, they deserve it. I know they couldn't beat Florida on the road, an average to below average Florida team. Give it to them. South Carolina, they were on the hot streak, but their losses came, and they had three losses too. Just hand over spots. Four of them. So Tennessee, which wasn't at large, you get a spot, which they would have made it anyway. So that barely matters. Like, the SEC is probably going to get three teams anyway every year in this scenario unless they fall completely apart. But they're trying to be gifted four no matter what they do in conference. I don't see anything where it says they have to reach a certain standard to get these four. So it appears that if you have a dominant SEC team and the rest of them are 8-4, they would still get three automatic qualifiers?
Yeah.
Or four plus the champion or whatever.
Yeah, they just lose like the non-conference games.
Yeah.
Like, does not matter.
Doesn't matter. As long as you in the SEC and you're a top four SEC team, just hand them a spot. And the Big Ten says, hey, don't forget about us. We want that too. This is where we are. Look, greed is always going to play a part, and once the games hit, it won't bother me that much. I'll just watch the games and not care that much, but it's the offseason, and the thought of just handing over multiple automatic qualifying spots to these two conferences, it bothers me. I'll get over it, but reading it, it's like, okay, do you want it to be college football, like, or do you want it to be the Invitational? I already know the answer. I'm not sure why I'm asking that question. They obviously want it to be a Big Ten SEC Invitational. They don't particularly care about the health of the sport beyond their conferences. And if you're in the SEC, like if you're Texas, as long as you're good, you're going to get in. Automatic qualifiers not going to really matter to you. I don't know if there's any other benefit to be an automatic qualifier beyond just, you know, not having to worry about it on Sunday after the championship games and whether you're in at large or not. But here we are.
God, being fourth place. You could tell me the top two make it, and again, that's like just going to happen most years anyway. Just the top two teams and the SEC or Big Ten are going to make it. But make it four, where it's like, gosh, this...
So...
We're giving this to last year's Alabama team.
Yeah, could have gotten in as an automatic.
Saw what they did against Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, the opposite is Ole Miss destroyed Duke. Of course, Duke didn't have their starting quarterback. But yeah, it's Duke anyway.
Is Duke making the playoff
No,
too?
A Manny Diaz-led Duke team. So in this, one of the proposals would suggest, as I said, four automatic qualifiers for the SEC and the Big Ten, two for the ACC and two for the Big 12, and one to the highest-ranked Group of Five champion. And then it would also have three at-large spots, which one of them would be kind of set aside for, hey, that team in South Bend. Yeah, make sure they get their at-large spot, put that in quotes, if it finishes ranked inside the top 14. So Notre Dame would be gifted a spot, too, as long as they're ranked inside the top 14. They would be, no matter how it goes, Notre Dame is obviously getting a spot, as long as they're ranked inside, which is kind of how it works anyway. As long as you're ranked at a point, you'd get a spot. So I'm not sure why that's been set aside. But there we are. There are other models, but that's one of the major ones, and that talks about the qualifier. So we went from, hey, we shouldn't be giving automatic buys to champions, to we're going to give four apiece to two conferences and two to the other group of power fours.
We're going to give automatic. You're automatically in if you are fourth place in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Who was it this year? We had Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State. Who was the
Penn State.
They already had their four.
Yeah.
But now Indiana wouldn't have to fret on Sunday, I guess, in this case.
Sweet. That, you know what? That's good. That's good. Less discussion.
Yes. That's good for the sport. You know, and it wouldn't – and like I imagine the thought is Indiana had their outlier year. We think Oregon's going to be serious about football. Of course, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. Those are the four they want locked in pretty much every year. And then if somebody comes up out of nowhere, like Illinois for a year or or in Indiana, maybe
Wisconsin gets their stuff together.
Iowa, maybe.
God forbid USC becomes good.
Oh, yeah, forgot about USC. And then we got at-larges. And you know what? You bring up USC is a good point. Their dream would be those five, Michigan, USC, Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State every year. I think that would be their dream scenario. And if Washington wants to show up at some point, but those five every year, if they can get all those five in with four of them being automatic qualifiers, and then the fifth, hey, you can't leave USC out as an at-large, or you can't leave Michigan out as an at-large, like that.
They kept it within three against Ohio State, who's a playoff team.
Exactly.
They're automatically qualified.
Exactly. So I don't like the direction, but as I said, Saturday's in the fall, just watch the games and my outrage will diminish.
There is a good part of the sport, or a good percentage of the sport, where it's like you don't have to worry about the automatic qualifiers.
Yeah, that's the thing. There are programs who operate like it's still, you know, for the most part, the sport in its existence up until the BCS and the playoff, where hey, winning eight games is A-okay with us. Yeah. And that's a lot of the, you know, if you have a big year where everything comes together, you may win a conference championship. That's how a lot of the sport operates. It's maybe, how many teams would you say where the playoff is a thing that not only matters, it's just part of the conversation all the time? What are we talking about? 20? Not a national championship.
Yeah,
that's playoff. A different level.
Just the playoff.
And now that the playoffs are expanded, I guess you can broaden the number of teams. But traditionally,
it's like 40.
But maybe now. But traditionally, when it was four with the old playoff, the real one. And then the two in the BCS, you're probably talking about 15 teams in any given year who all that stuff actually mattered to. And but ESPN decided we're going to make the entire sport about that, even though most of the sport doesn't get involved in it because it's not realistic.
Like, you can be Kansas State and, like, good, you know, pretty good most of the time, compete to win the Big 12. And, like,
the playoff system
has never mattered.
Yeah, it never has.
It just does not matter if you're an Iowa State fan.
No.
It just doesn't matter.
Don't lose to UCF at home. That would help them this year. What was UCF, right? Did they lost at home too?
Lost to Arizona State in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
Don't lose that one either.
That wouldn't have helped. That doesn't help your cause either. But you are correct. But this is where we are. We're about, 70% of the sport at this point now with the expanded playoff. Hey, this isn't about you guys. Don't worry about it. Hey, Coastal Carolina. I bring that up because that's one of the teams in the dynasty. Hey, Coastal Carolina. That Aqua Field is cool. It's a nice thing you guys do, but don't worry about this thing we're doing over here. Don't worry about it. It's not about you.
I mean, not even like, you don't even have to go down that far.
That's true. You can stick with Power Four. Hey, Wake Forest, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
NC State, even them, Dave Doran's had a good run there. Don't you worry about what we're doing here. We don't want you at our table. In fact, you've got no business at our table.
Yeah.
All right. We will get out of this segment with that. We've got some more Astros stuff. We're going to hear from Lance McCullers later in the show. Because, maybe when we come back, Lance McCullers has changed his mechanics. And, he certainly hopes that leads to more health. So, Lance McCullers, throwing about high 80s. Not exactly where you want to be if you want to be him on the major league level. But he's got some thoughts on what he's doing to change some things. We'll hear from him when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, and it'll benefit kids' meals. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, March 4th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer is going to receive beverages from Carbach, lunch, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. Register now at ESPN975.com under the promotions tab. Get on out there for the Occasional Invitational. We broadcast from out there. You get to see everyone. And if that's not your bag, you just want to play golf and help a deserving charity, you can do that as well. We'll be benefiting kids' meals. Do I transition to True Luck this way? Sure. Why not? Want to thank people over at True Luck for bringing us cake. All it is just great cake. It could be a bakery, and they just want to do that. They could get away with that. Carrot cake and chocolate cake. They brought it out there. I think Matt over at the Westheimer location brought the cake out here. So appreciate that. Cake is far off camera. I won't be eating it as we go. Despite sitting in the seats, I won't take the example that Lance has set and punish you with it. The cake will stay off camera, and I won't be eating it on the air.
I was worried that Lance had set a culture where it's okay to not try and eat cake during the middle of the show.
I'm not Darius Garland, just following the lead of the star and seeing what he'll do. Sometimes you got to take a stand, and my stand is against eating on air, so I won't do that. Lance has provided great sources of entertainment for years, two decades worth of that to the people in the city. One thing that I don't think they would or do appreciate is the eating of ribs or chicken and other things that restaurants bring in. Not sure that one's at the top of the Hall of Fame list.
In fact, that probably wasn't on the reel.
My sources tell me it was a debate of whether that was going to keep them out. We can hear the chicken in your teeth while you're talking. That's a problem. But the Hall of Famers set an example for all of us. Okay, Lance McCullers. He doesn't pitch very much for the Astros, but he's currently working his way back on the mound, throwing, not at a high velocity, but he's working his way. We know he won't be available for the start of the season. They hope to get him back sometime quickly afterwards. No firm date, because why would you do that? We talked about it. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to come out and go, actually, we were wrong about that. He's not going to be available. This is the right way to go about it. Sometime after the start of the year. That could be June. That could be July. We don't know. But they expect him back. Here's Lance McCullers on what he's done this offseason to change his delivery.
It was just when I was out at the Texas Baseball Ranch this offseason, and we were just going through some drills and identifying some things that they believed watching my mechanics that were some red flags per se, just some things that I could clean up and hopefully get a more repeatable delivery with less less trauma to the arm. And so they put me through a bunch of drills. I kind of picked out the ones that I really liked, and as the off season went on doing these drills, my arm kind of synced up in this new way, so that's kind of how that came about. It wasn't like we wanted it to look like this. It was just, it ended up looking like that based on how I was moving.
So it wasn't really a plan, but they found something, and you hope that phrase you heard, less trauma, means something for the future of his career with the Astros and really overall. I mean, he's been robbed of, like, maybe you want to call it, maybe not his pitching prime, but he's been robbed of several years where you would think he'd be at his best.
He hasn't pitched since the Astros won the World Series.
Yeah. This is 2 years in the middle of a career that, when he's not injured, has shown to be very promising. It's just that he's never not injured anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to hope that whatever happened this offseason to find himself in a spot where his mechanics have changed helps, because beyond what he might do for the Astros, I'm sure Lance McCullers just wants to go out there and not be worried about another injury, which is what he's had to deal with for the better part of 2+ years now. Okay. We mentioned it, well, at least I did, very early in the show. I have seen Captain America, Brave New World. We got a tweet from, spoiler free, by the way. We won't talk about it in the way that it'll ruin it for you if you happen to want to go see it. But we got a tweet from Mark, one of our listeners, and he said, without Super Soldier Serum, Sam Wilson is nothing more than a taxpayer-funded Bruce Wayne. Good movie. not great. And that was part of the storyline in the look at Sean in their lap.
Taxpayer funded
Bruce Wayne. Yeah, at least all of Bruce Wayne's money is private. All of Batman's money is private. He's a privately funded superstar, or at least superhero.
Yeah.
So
independently wealthy.
Yeah. It's Tony. Well, Wakanda. Well, to be fair to to be fair to Sam Wilson and Captain America, Wakanda's funding quite a bit.
No, but he takes a salary.
Does he?
100%. At the very least, U.S. government's giving him a place to live.
I thought that was that built by that? Where are the Avengers were living where Tony, that place that Tony
the tower.
Built. Yeah. Not even the tower. When they were
the compound.
The compound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
is that where Sam Wilson is now?
That was the site of the final battle in Endgame. So
yeah, so no longer.
I imagine it's still under construction at the very least.
It's been some years now. Can't get that thing done. So if you've seen the movie, he is in a Captain America branded place. You can see the logo in the back on the windows.
I think that's taxpayer money.
You think it's tax? So he has it. It's
at least subsidized.
His home's being funded partly by the taxpayers.
100%.
But his equipment it comes from Wakanda.
Yeah, I mean the shield obviously hand me down, so that's free for us.
Yes.
And then
vibranium.
Yeah, vibranium Wakanda wings, free for us.
Yeah, we're not paying for all of it. We're not paying for the most. Well, it depends.
We're paying for Falcon. That's for sure. We're paying for.
But even that's hand me down.
For the. No, but I mean he is a government official. Like he gets paid by the government.
Yes, but his equipment is, which is the most expensive part of the deal, is hand me down stuff.
I don't know.
Also.
Oh, a lot of screen time for the U.
I was going to mention that.
I know. The first thing, it happens like in 20 minutes of the
Joaquin
movie.
Joaquin Torres is Sam Wilson's sidekick.
Yeah, he's
He'll
working
be the new
out.
Falcon.
He's working out as like a, you know, hey, I'm going to be the Falcon. Show me your moves kind of type of thing.
Yeah, and he's got
thing.
A U sleeveless tee with a football on it.
Yeah,
and logo.
It is Miami Hurricanes football. Like, yeah. It's not just like Miami.
He's a big fan of. I think he went to school as well. He's a big fan, so I'm sure he's from the air Miami, and so is Joaquin Torres, the character he's playing. I'm sure they sent him stuff. It's not just University of Miami stuff. It's also a retro Miami Heat jacket.
Oh, I didn't
sitting on his chair. So he was all in. And like I said, the actor himself, I think his name is Danny Ramirez. He is a giant Miami fan. So that was his add to the story. To mention Miami, get Miami looks at all costs.
I was worried that we're gonna get a cameo from
who? Mario Cristobal?
Yeah, just
the most likely.
You call that a rep?
The most likely person to make an appearance, if we're going to do that, would probably be
Michael Irvin.
AI generated Jimmy Johnson, like they did at the Super Bowl.
I also think Michael Irvin would have been.
Michael Irvin probably
Captain America.
If we're talking about. Recently active or now eventually going to be retired coaches, you would probably go Coach L as far as guys who've accomplished anything. But Jimmy would be the guy. Mario's not making. Get Mario out of here.
I think Sam Wilson, Joaquin Torres could have used a Michael Irvin pump up speech.
Isn't he supposed to be? Wasn't he allegedly going to be in Black Panther? So that would be the tie-in.
It is just a Photoshop.
Yeah, that would just be the tie-in.
There's also a Photoshop of Ryan Gosling as Black Panther.
True. The Ringer has a show called or a podcast called The Ringerverse, and it wasn't a reverse Captain America. Was it a reverse Black Panther?
I don't know.
I think it was a reverse Black Panther, and I forgot who they made Bucky. I forgot. I got to look it up. But either way, as far as the movie's concerned, the fact that I was actually not scared of the Red Hulk because, you know, he's fictional and I'm in a movie theater, but the fact that he was actually someone that looked like he could murder someone as opposed to the Hulk we've seen in the last, decade now, feels like, really since Ragnarok. I liked it. I liked the Dangerous Hulk. Now, it only lasted for... Well, I ain't going to give it away. But that was appreciated. That it looked like... And we've seen the trailer. That it looked like if the Hulk wanted to... Spoiler, Captain America doesn't die. Sorry. Just going to tell you that. I'll tell you that spoiler. But other than that, It looked like the Hulk was about that life. At least the Red Hulk was. Because I'm tired of Bruce Banner's Hulk.
Yeah.
Smart Hulk, I don't want that.
Wearing glasses. Yeah. Arm in a sling.
A cardigan.
Yeah.
Why is Hulk wearing a cardigan? So, Sean, you see the movie.
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
First, Danny Martinez went to
Martinez, not Ramirez.
Or Danny Ramirez went to NYU.
So he's just from Miami and a big Miami fan.
T-shirt fan. Shocker.
You root for Texas. Not that you are, but T-shirt fan is part of the gig.
A guy went to Miami Central High School as a U fan. Okay.
Big shock. Danny Ramirez, yeah.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was. I wouldn't say it was like awesome. I wouldn't say I was edge of my seat the entire time. Like watching a movie like that, and then another movie I watched this weekend, Conclave. You're like, that's what it looks like.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. It really puts it all. And the Gorge is also suffering from the fact that I also saw Conclave.
You comped it to the Conclave.
Where I'm just like, the Gorge.
That's a tough beat for the Gorge.
Stinks compared.
Yeah, you can't do that. You got to compare the Gorge to like Madam Web to actually appreciate the Gorge and what it provides.
Yeah, exactly. But it's pretty. It was pretty standard, low level MCU stuff. We're talking before the show. Walking in the movie theater, I was like, can we get this to like average, whatever the Mendoza line of these movies are?
What would you consider the Mendoza line?
I would have to do my research. There's 40 movies.
Yep.
So just, hey, can you be number 20?
And probably 27, maybe?
Yeah, probably in that.
Better than
in that range.
Thor 2.
Yes.
Better than Love and Thunder?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Very easily.
Mm-hmm. Better than Thor 3?
Ragnarok?
Oh, that's Ragnarok. Yeah, you're right. That's Ragnarok. What about better than Thor 1?
Probably not.
Better than any...
Thor 1 had like a cohesive like story that obviously wasn't three different movies chopped up into one.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the problem with Captain America Brave New World is that there's...
There's
so much exposition because...
Because it's stuff we haven't seen in... years. They have to explain things to people.
And there's like stuff where, they just obviously are just like, well, we can't reshoot this scene, so we just have to basically explain what would have happened in the scene as they're driving to the next place.
As opposed to showing it.
Yeah.
Dustin asked, did y'all catch Cobra Kai Part 3? No, I'm way behind Cobra Kai. I haven't watched it since probably season 3. Sean?
No.
All right.
Never seen it.
Here's this question. So did Wakanda provide the metal and then the taxpayers are on the hook to make Cap stuff, or does Wakanda also make the stuff for Cap? Also, is Wakanda getting a tax write-off for this world? Well, they're an isolationist country, so I'm not sure about that part of it.
I think they send a bill, at
but
least.
You don't think they donated they made it and donated it to Sam?
No such thing as free lunch, though.
I don't know, man. If you can give Bucky a new arm, you ain't going to give Black Captain America something for free? I'm looking at you, Wakanda. If Sean's right,
maybe they're asking for a favor,
and they housed Bucky and gave him a new arm, and the first Black Captain America, actually Isaiah, you might want to give him that title, but the current Black Captain America can't get something for free from Wakanda. Questions need to be asked.
Hey, I'm just saying they recently changed leadership. Well, the Bucky stuff, that was the last guy. That was the last guy that did that.
Well, I mean, we got...
cities under new management.
We got examples here of what happens when the new guy comes in. So maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Wakanda cutting funding?
I just don't think they can let... That can fly.
Okay. Well, is there any upkeep? Do they have to oil those wings?
Do they send a tech?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they fly over tech to get stuff fixed? Like, I can't give it away, but he's gonna need some work. He fought the Hulk. He's gonna need some repairs.
The Wakanda, you get an email from Wakanda like your tech will be there between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Monday.
The Wakandan jet should have a very specific time for it to land and when it's gonna get to wherever Sam is.
Yeah, we got a couple other stops along
Wakanda's
the way.
Wakanda's not Xfinity. They're not Xfinity. We can't treat them like DirecTV. It's Wakanda. To answer your question seriously, since this is a dumb question to have to answer, I don't know, Dustin. I'm going to assume Wakanda made it's all in house. They have the metals. They make it. They send it over to Sam. I don't think they're you know what I don't think? I don't think they're trusting America to fabricate their stuff.
Oh, no.
No chance. No.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, the first day he has the vibranium wing, some suit is going to be like, let's take a look at that. Yep.
Yeah, before it gets to Sam, they're going to get the specs. They're not doing that. I bet it's hand-delivered.
I think it was. I think if I remember the end of whatever the TV show was called, Falcon and Winter Soldier, I believe it was, like, dropped off.
Yeah, no way Wakanda's allowing the Americans get their hands on stuff like that. They don't even
Thunderbolt Ross in power?
Hell no.
I think Thunderbolt Ross, from what I gather in the movie, I think he ran a good campaign. I think he
made people forget.
Yeah, I mean, he sold them sold the American public on that he was a changed man, and I kind of believe him. Until spoiler alert, he turns into the Red Hulk. I think he was trying his best. I really do. I would have voted for Thunderbolt Ross.
If going from human to the Hulk ain't a changed man. I don't know what is.
Well, it changed for the better.
There's a lot of destruction involved.
Yeah, he changed for the better after, I don't know, whatever, the Sokovia Accords. That was a miss. Yeah, I'll say that.
That's a miss. He wanted to, tore apart the Avengers. He wanted to reconnect with his daughter, which we saw a lot of, at least pictures of her, during that movie.
I won't spoil anything else, but there was more than just photos of her.
Well, you gave it away. His story was centered around reconnecting with Liv Tyler. I was trying to think of her Lord of the Rings name and drop that, but I don't remember what it was. Arwen. He wanted to reconnect with Arwen. Okay, we got one more segment to go before we're done. If you have a review, you can tweet us. You can call us. 7137.
Captain America, Brave New World, The Gorge, all the hits.
All of that. We'll talk more about it on Thursday because Michael Kerr won't be with us on Friday. He's not dying, but he won't be here on Fridays. He'll join us on Thursday to give his review of Captain America, Brave New World, and other things you should watch. White Lotus is out. I'm not sure if he's a fan of that show, but that's a new show you can take a look at. The third season of that premiered last night on Max. So we got one more, and then we'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Before we wrap it up here, I want to let you know that Gallant and George and the Killer Bees are out at BB Lemon. The acronym made the rounds in some people's phones, and make your jokes if you so choose. But they'll be out there from 12 to 6. You can join them. Right. People can go out there and join them.
Sure. Yeah, it's America. You can do what you want.
Can you?
You can do this if you
want. Yes. There are some things you cannot do. But you can go out there and see the guys at BB Lemon this afternoon. Sean, do you know who Terrence Shannon is?
Basketball player. I want to say Trailblazers? No, Timberwolves.
Yes, formerly of Illinois. He had to go through something no person wants to go through, particularly if you are innocent of the charge. He was accused of sexual assault. It kind of clouded his entire senior year, of course, the draft process, all the things as he's trying to make the transition into the NBA. Charges, or at least he obviously is not in jail. Things worked out for him. And he was honored by Illinois over the weekend, had his jersey retired. And they're raising it to the rafters, except it was upside down. They unveiled the jersey, and it was upside down. And you could hear people go, when it happened. So, yes, it's a great moment, except, you know, someone had one job. Hey, can you look at this and make sure it's upright and the Shannon is where it's supposed to be and the one where it's supposed to be? No, couldn't do it. Could not do it. So Terrence Shannon, honored by Illinois over the weekend. You know, it's All-Star weekend. He's got time off. They planned it. All the planning done to honor Terrence Shannon Jr. in front of his friends and family and the entire Illini crowd. and you unveil that thing and the thing is not upright. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't call for people to get fired. Don't think it's cool to do.
No, it isn't.
Someone needs to talk to whoever set that up. Just have a talking to. Hey, man, this is going
what
to
happen.
How did this go down? Why is it like this? We are now the subject of, well, you know, this dumb show and others. What are you doing? Just look at it. It's. I think it's pretty simple. Just look. Look at the banner. Before you drape it to make sure no one can see it, just take a look. And somehow the one was in the wrong spot.
Was it, like, unfurled? Like, was it rolled up? And maybe they couldn't, like, check?
So they gave him something to pull to unveil it. Yes, it was furled. And then it was unfurled. And it's upside down.
Okay. Okay.
The number zero. Sorry, it's not the number one. His number zero. It was furled. Pulled. Yeah, and then it was upside down.
That's tough. That's tough if it's...
How?
Well, because if it's furled, you can't check.
But you furled it. Who furled it in the first place?
That is true. I think it's on the furler.
Yes,
for sure.
Well, that's who I'm blaming. Yes, I said Drake, but I looked at it again. It was furled. It's on the furler. If that's a word to make sure.
Furlist.
You know, it's not like a stunt in a movie where you can only get it once. You can unfurl it and then refurl it,
yeah,
and see that once you pull the string, it's cool. And somehow they screwed it up.
Yeah, not great. No disrespect to Terrence Shannon. Obviously, I'm not a huge Big Ten basketball watcher. Getting his jersey retired?
I don't know if they have a rule. Maybe he was an All-American, and that's why they do it. I'm not sure exactly why. He played for Tech, and then
that's what
then
I
he
remember.
Transferred to
that's
Illinois.
That's why I'm a little like, wait, what happened here? Because I remember he transferred. And so that... And I don't remember, respectfully, I don't remember Illinois ever winning anything, respectfully.
No.
Is he right up there next to Luther Head?
Well, at least they made a Final Four, right?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, Luther Head, Darren Williams, and Terrence Shannon, who you asked me, do I know who he is?
I'm trying to figure out what his key was. Third-team All-American, two-time Big Ten, first team All Big Ten. I'm not exactly sure what qualifies get you.
Yeah, I don't remember them winning the Big Ten.
No,
I don't remember them.
He did accomplish a lot in his 2 years, and he probably would have been a real contender for Player of the Year until, you know, the allegations. But yeah, I'm not sure why. They must have a certain level you have to reach, and maybe if you make All Big Ten, you get your number retired, which seems like a low bar.
It's also like very soon to do this.
Yeah, immediately after his career is over.
Yeah, it's All-Star break his rookie year.
Maybe it's like, hey, Terrence, I know you had a rough senior year because of stuff. We're going to try to help you out here and give you a fun moment, except we screwed it up.
Yeah, whoops.
Sorry about that.
Hey, yeah. At least now this is what we'll talk about, not the other stuff.
Sean Mapes, digging deep. Did Terrence Shannon deserve it?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, name association, it's good that it's this and not the other stuff.
Well, true. It'll be this and being a rookie for the Wolves as opposed to what it was leading up to that point.
I don't think people are going
to
know that he's a rookie for
I just saw them play the Rockets. I know. That's why I know. He played.
That's also how I know, is because I was like, I've seen him recently.
Yeah, he played against the Rockets and helped. Well, Anthony Edwards did all the work, but he was there for
it. Yeah, he's victorious against the Rockets.
Yeah,
he beat the Rockets.
He beat the Rockets. Him and Rob Dillingham, and then that Anthony Edwards guy.
Is Rob Dillingham getting his jersey retired by Kentucky?
Do you have to start at Kentucky for that to happen?
Probably helps.
Yeah.
Probably helps, but he was like the 10th pick in the draft.
And Reed was third, so he should get it too.
He should, but he was busy this All-Star weekend in the Rising Stars.
That's true.
Playing for the G League.
If this... Yes, that is the part we want to leave unsaid, that he was playing for the G League team. All right, we're done for the day. Gallant and George are up next at BB Lemon. Killer Bees are there too. They'll follow them. Since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.